Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. It's an all-pundit show with Ben Kuecheffer and Jesse Wadhams here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up-to-date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Story County is leading Nevada. Home of the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, Google, Tesla, Panasonic, and other world-leading companies. Story County provides thousands of tech, advanced manufacturing, and logistics careers for Nevadans. We're diversifying and driving Nevada's economy and generating millions in tax revenue and billions in economic activity across northern Nevada. Story County is leading Nevada's future.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Chan on No Holds Barred Political Forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Chan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have an all-pundit program going today with Ben Kuecheffer of BRK Nevada LLC. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thank you very much, Sam.
You have a lot of formas, but I would just go with former chief of staff to Governor Lombardo and Jesse Wadhams, partner with Black & Wadhams, attorney at law. Pleasure to have you here as well.
Thanks, Sam.
So, Ben, let's start out with you. The governor had a pretty good night on election night.
I think the governor had a great night on election night. Every candidate that he endorsed in the primaries and for local office here in Nevada won, moved on to the general election for state office and local office here in Nevada. And really that is an effort to expand the playing field and make sure that Republicans are competitive, primarily for the Nevada legislature in November, to try to ensure that there's some balance in state government and that his veto means something. I think that he was successful in both recruiting candidates and supporting them, helping them through the primaries, and we're in a good position moving into November.
I think it's a very interesting situation because here you have a former sheriff as governor, an elective office in Clark County, used to running a massive organization. So unlike somebody who would just come in to the governorship without all that experience, he has a ton of experience. He knows what is needed going forward. And this is a big deal for him in the next session.
Well, I think it's a huge deal, right? The legislature, depending on how it comes out in that general election, could be, if it could end up as heavy two-thirds majorities in both houses for the Democrats, which of course then renders the governor basically just more of a commentator on the whole process. So his ability to sort of expand the playing field, as Ben mentioned, I think, and get those candidates through the primary, and maybe even more importantly, do something that I've noticed the Democrats do very well, which is clear the primary slate for certain candidates. It was, I think, a masterful job on that.
Interesting, the culinary not necessarily going along
with all of the Democratic candidates?
No, they struggled. They tried to unseat Rochelle Wynn, Senator Rochelle Wynn, in the primary, in the Democratic primary for state Senate. They failed to do so. They were successful in a couple of other races, so they had sort of a mixed night. Senator Cannizzaro also had a great night, right? All of her primary candidates won. But the culinary tried to flex, and they missed on this one, and it was a big mess.
Let's talk about the Clark County Commission. It was very interesting to see April Becker coming through. What do you think the chances are for her to make it all the way going into the general?
I think April Becker has shown that she can run a pretty strong race. I mean, obviously, she ran for Senate last cycle and missed, but not by a major amount. I think the other piece that you see is that in that particular race, without the incumbent candidate, without Ross Miller there, the Democrats they seem to have settled on Shannon Bilbray Axelrod, but I think that does leave Becker with a nice opening to at least be a very competitive race in what has generally been non-competitive races in Southern Nevada.
And probably going to be a huge amount of money.
Oh, I got to imagine there's just going to be tons of money both directions because of wanting to keep obviously a majority on the Clark County Commission or attempt to sort of put the first Republican on there in what, like 10 years now or something like. So it's been a while. So that's going to be a very closely watched, very expensive race.
To say the least. Drew Johnson, there was a very good article in the Nevada Independent over the weekend from Gabby Berenbaum, their D.C. correspondent. Drew Johnson surprised a lot of people. They had written him off.
I don't know if everyone had written him off, but he was running a really grassroots campaign as much as you can in a congressional race.
Well, he was running against two very wealthy guys
who
dumped a lot of money in.
Certainly. And he was out pressing the flesh and doing retail politics, and he pulled through in that primary. And it shows that is still an effective way to run campaigns.
What do you think about his position, at least according to this article, about being a small L libertarian and not necessarily going with one side or the other, but willing to cross lines? Does that benefit him in Clark County?
Well, it's a very Nevada position, right, to be a small L libertarian. And I think that you could find some traction at this point, ultimately casting himself as somewhat of an outsider, trying to say, I'm going to do what I think is right for the state, not what's right for political parties. And I think that there's a pathway there, and that could resonate with voters.
I think it's going to be very interesting. And the Clark County Commission has always been, to me, very interesting because, rightly, there hasn't been a Republican on there for a long time. But you have some very conservative Democrats that remind me of the days when Richard Bryan and Harry Reid were considered conservative Democrats.
That is an animal that is almost extinct, but there used to be a few of them, particularly on the Clark County Commission. I can think of a few, yeah.
And maybe even a couple of today. but I mean, there are organizations that are being spun up across the country now that are, they're talking about election fatigue, that 65% of the electorate is just tired of all this fighting. Do you think that can gain traction in time for this election cycle?
In terms of spinning up motivation for people?
Motivation for people who are in the middle, that they're not extreme on either side. They're not part of this, I hate you, I hate you.
Well, we're going to be deluged with campaign messaging from now until November, right?
Let me write that down.
It'll be good. Maybe you can find some advertisers. So there will be no shortage of ads, of attacks, of flyers in your mailbox. And it's going to be incumbent on candidates to find those voters who are persuadable and turnoutable and do so. And that's how you're going to be able to cut through in this election cycle, because all the hard R's are going to turn out, all the hard D's are going to turn out, that core group of voters in the middle is still going to turn out. But those who are sort of on the fringe, a little less engaged, you're going to have to capture them in order to win this election.
Were you surprised at how low the turnout was?
I actually probably not in any meaningful
way. Because it was pitiful.
It was, but I think if you really go back, if you look at the down ballot races, very few primaries, really not very competitive primaries on the Democratic side. There was a bit of a competitive primary in the U.S. Senate race on the Republican side, but you know, again, one race is a real competitive. I got to tell you, I wasn't terribly surprised, and we've kind of, in a presidential year where you've already sort of picked the president, the presidential candidate, it, you know, we didn't, there wasn't a lot to vote on in that election. My ballot was real thin.
Well, that's true. All right, so let's bring, you know, you brought up the presidential election. Mm-hmm. Any chance you think that at the Democratic convention somebody else gets nominated?
Oh, there's a lot of people speculating about that. Look, I think that, frankly, in the polling that we've seen in Nevada, President Biden is struggling here. And I think that that's translating to other states, and it is very tangible in pretty much every poll that's coming out right now. So I think that that's driving a lot of narrative, but I don't foresee a sitting president stepping down at the convention. Maybe I'm naive on what the Democratic Party is going to choose to do, but I don't see it happening.
One of the things that keeps coming up is, you know, the current vice president and, you know, how she weighs on that campaign. But as I look at it, there's no way that that is going to change.
No. And I think we all, there's a lot of hope of some kind of, you know, brokered convention, either party. But the systems don't work that way anymore, and we're not changing out either the vice president or the president in either party at this stage. And the voters have spoken. Now, whether we agree with that or not, maybe a different issue.
Okay, so the debates. How important are the debates going to be?
You know, I think it strikes me that they could be very important. I think depending on how, you know, the president performs, there's a lot of narrative around age, and we'll see if
really,
if
I hadn't
plays
noticed
out.
That.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen that in the news. It's a small article on the back page. I think it can do more damage. I don't know that anyone's going to help themselves a lot, but I think either candidate might be able to hurt themselves a bit.
No notes. The ability to turn off the microphone. What do you think about that?
Yeah, look, I agree with Jesse. I think it's a minefield probably for both candidates, trying not to turn people off. Now, this is sort of the environment where Trump sort of shines, right? Where he can just riff and do what he wants to do. For a more traditional candidate like Joe Biden, I think it's going to be a more difficult playing field. Because of what he's going to be up against with President Trump on the debate stage. So discipline and being able to execute your message effectively is going to be key. But it's going to be a lot of people trying to mitigate damage rather than score points, I think.
Wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall of a debate prep?
of either side, really, because I think it'll be fascinating trying to see if you can. I think Ben's right. You've got a very traditional candidate in President Biden, and then President Trump, who will sort of be just riffing and his sort of ad lib style of debate. I think, you know, so both sides, both debate prep teams, are going to have their work cut out for them, trying to keep their candidates sort of focused on a message and keeping away from the third rails.
Yeah, to say the least. And those third rails will be very close. Let's take a break. We'll come back much more with these guys after this timeout.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Gear up for the 105th Reno Rodeo at the Double R Marketplace and experience the biggest little shopping adventure in the West. With over 100 vendors, you'll find everything from Western attire to home decor to tasty treats. open every day during the Reno Rodeo at the Livestock Event Center Indoor Arena in South Exhibit Hall. The Double R Marketplace, Thursday, June 20th through Saturday, June 29th. Plus, shop online anytime at renorodeo.com for Reno Rodeo merchandise.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Jesse Wadhams and Ben Kiekhafer. Jesse, one of the races that I think is going to turn out to be a huge money race, potentially, is Stephen Horsford versus John Lee.
I think
your
you're
thoughts
right.
on that race.
You know, it's a relatively close race. It's not as close as it used to be. The numbers have sort of seem to have shifted a little bit more in favor of the Democrats. I think it's going to be a very you're right. It's going to be a lot of money spent in that race. John Lee has won in North Las Vegas, so at least it gives him a punching chance to maybe make some inroads. It's an opportunity for the Republicans to pick up. I still think that the advantage goes to Stephen Horsford on that one.
Being the chairman of the Black Caucus means access to a lot of money.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think Congressman Horsford, starts out certainly as the favorite. Any effort to unseat an incumbent needs to be proven before I'll bet on it, right? And I think that John Lee probably has the best chance of doing so of any of the congressional races. This cycle, because of what Jesse said, is having been elected mayor of North Las Vegas for so long, he's a known commodity there.
And he did a good job as mayor,
yeah, right?
Amazing.
Yes, so I think that he's probably the best candidate that could have emerged from a Republican primary to challenge the congressman, but certainly Stephen's well situated to be strong in defense of his seat.
Okay, so Dina Titus, same opponent as the last time around. Do you see any problems for her there?
I would project her as a favorite going into that one.
Yeah, but you recall that she was very unhappy about the redistricting.
Very unhappy about the redistricting, but again, I think she is already. I don't see that this rematch is going to change much. I think she's going to win that probably, maybe even a slightly wider margin. I think.
Okay, Mark Amadei up in CD2, an obvious favorite, one would think, just because of his long tenured career up there. And also being state Republican Party chair and all the rest of it, there's an independent with money that's coming into the race, Greg Kidd. What are your thoughts about that?
It's an interesting one because there's a part of me that would there's a part of me that would love to see a non-Democrat, non-Republican start to make some inroads in any race. I think we are. The two-party system is becoming far too polarized. That said, I don't see Amadei losing to an independent, even with money. I think the Congressman Amadei has really done nothing that should prohibit his sort of easy reelection.
You concur?
Yeah, fully agree. And let's face it, Mark Amadei is arguably our most powerful member of the federal delegation right now. He's a cardinal. He's chairing an appropriations subcommittee. He's got some juice right now, and we would be very wise to send him back to Congress.
Okay, so now here's the big question, which is for Nevada in general, the biggest issue has got to be, although I doubt that the public thinks it is, but the biggest issue has got to be the land spills.
It's certainly huge, right? And the governor has been chirping on the need for the release of more federal lands to address our housing issues regularly, and it's certainly picking up steam. He continues to fight for that issue, and the lands bills are a key piece of that. If we can include even more disposal in those lands bills for housing development, I think that would go a long way towards addressing some of the housing issues we face in the long term, and allowing additional growth for economic development that is also needed throughout the state. So the work of the federal delegation on a bipartisan manner to advance those lands bills would be a big deal for the state.
Right, but the issue, though, if I were running against one of these Congress people or the senator, I guess part of my argument would be, what about these lands bills? And what's the holdup? I mean, Congressman Amade has said on the program that there are staffers on the committee that are a problem dating back to Senator Reid's time. But how do we do this?
You know, passing anything through Congress, there are bills that are passing only now that I worked on in the 208th Congress, which was 2005. So the Congress does not work fast in any measure, but you're right. These lands bills are hugely important to get more developable land to help alleviate our housing crisis for economic development. I think the argument against, it seems like there is a fair amount of NIMBYism as well pushing against these from both sort of, both poles, right? It's not just, say, conservatives pushing against it or liberals, but it does feel like there's, again, most of us that sit in the middle would say, yeah, we got to get this moving. But for whatever reason, there's a fair amount of noise that sort of pushes against it in a way that it's always easier not to do a thing.
But why? Because, invariably, these lands bills come along with, yes, growth, but a much smaller piece of it is for growth versus stuff that is being taken care of for the environment.
I totally agree. I think that's the stewardship, having more land available, not only to develop, but you're right, to take care of in a manner that is more healthy for the environment, to take care of the infrastructure for making sure that we have energy corridors and all of these components that will help with the environment overall. Again, I don't see why we don't pass these things. I don't know why there would be bigger holdups than why there are the holdups there are. It does seem that there's a lot of folks that push against these things, maybe for some idealized notion of, Nevada in the 1950s. It was all better back then, but that's not the world we live in.
You concur?
Look, I don't know enough about the dynamics of some of these committees and churning these out of Congress. I've never worked on Capitol Hill, and happily so.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I was going to say a new opportunity right there.
No, thank you.
Anything you want to announce today?
No, sure. But, I do know that a lot of the pushback that I've heard about often comes from representatives from back east. And, where there are almost no federal lands, right? So the idea that Nevada has more than 80% of its lands being controlled by the federal government is something that most people don't understand the impact of when you're from east of the Mississippi.
All right, more with Ben and Jesse when we come back.
Hit the open road with a truckload of cash free play in one of three luxury travel trailers during the $250,000 travel time giveaways. Thousands in weekly giveaways plus $7,500 in grand prizes guaranteed. And a new travel trailer or $35,000. Now at the Carson Valley Inn.
Welcome to the Winnemucca Big R.
Hi, I'm John Walker. Welcome to Big R Lovelock.
Hi, I'm Rich Martin. Welcome to Fallon Big R.
My name is Braden. Welcome to Big R Fernley.
Hi, I'm Kelly. Welcome to Big R Sparks.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
It's a good time to eat. It's a good time to play.
It's a good time to win.
Ooh, your good times are tamarack.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Ben Kiekheffer of BRK Nevada LLC and Jesse Wadhams, partner with Black & Wadhams Attorneys at Law. So we saved the best for last. Jackie Rosen and Sam Brown. What do you make of this race? How's it going to play out?
Look, I think that the it's interesting right now. All the polling is showing that Senator Rosen's in a strong position to start the general election campaign. She's really
financially right.
Financially, I think numerically, she's ahead. She started a general election campaign several months ago, right? She's been positioning herself to the middle for months now. And I think that that's going to be an effective message for her. So I think Sam's got an uphill climb. It's not undoable. But I think that as we walk into the general election cycle, that she's got an edge.
It's going to be a close race. The last numbers I looked at, and I look at the active voters, we're at like a difference of 1.5% between the parties. It is going to be a tight race. It's going to be a nasty race, and it's going to be a long race.
And you know, when you look at Catherine Cortez Masto, who has this incredible history in the state of Nevada, attorney general, her father's relationship with the state, which was amazing, and yet hers was less than a percent.
Yeah, I think that's why I tend to think that Senator Rosen's got more of the uphill climb against a very strong candidate. I think Senator Cortez Masto was able to stop the bleeding in some of the rural counties, a bit. And so it's going to be a long campaign.
Absolutely. Okay.
That was your pithy close. I was going to ask you for a pithy close.
Well, look, if you want one quick, I think the dynamics of the presidential campaign on the U.S. Senate campaign are going to be really interesting to watch, and whether people are going to go straight ticket on the presidential side and in the U.S. Senate side, or whether they're going to be splitting their votes between the presidential candidate and the U.S. Senate candidate.
And Nevada is famous for that.
That's right.
And also it's going to be interesting to see whether the independents are truly the independents. Gentlemen, thank you both for taking out time today.
Thanks,
appreciate it.
Thanks.
And please come back throughout this cycle.
You got it.
And we'll be right back.
Thanks.
Here on 7 at 7, we're bringing you the local headlines in just 7 minutes.
We've got you covered in the morning, evening, and for all breaking news in between and as it happens.
Life is busy, and we don't waste your time. Join us for local news now streaming on our YouTube page.
Calamity. It lurks around every corner. Or not.
That's why UMC Quick Care is around every corner with locations around the valley.
UMC Quick Care, for all your small calamities.
Imagine a magical garden that feeds Carson City's hungry and homeless, teaches our high school students agriculture, creates hanging floral displays to beautify downtown, and yet charges nothing. It's not magic. It's the Greenhouse Project. It's real. It's growing, and it needs your help. Go online to carsoncitygreenhouse.org so together we can grow it forward.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Event Center sits at the heart of the Las Vegas Strip. Two floors of meeting and event space are ideal for groups and conventions. Stay in one of 200 luxurious rooms and suites. Brand your event throughout the property. Flexible event spaces make for easy planning and personalization. Take over the entire hotel with a full buyout option.
Thanks for watching Nevada Newsmakers. You can catch us online 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com, or you can download the podcast wherever you like to get your podcast. We'll see you on the next broadcast.